This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's NBA tip-off week, and FanDuel is your home for live betting. So even if you missed the start of the game or want to ride the hot hand, FanDuel has live bets on everything from who will score next to fourth quarter comebacks. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same-game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join, because FanDuel is giving new customers $300 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to sign up today. Play your game with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights, from backyard jams to sold-out arenas. There's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Well, hi there, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Rico Bronya, episode number 591. We have now all had more than 24 hours to digest the trade of Brandon Nimmo to the Texas Rangers for Marcus Semien. We're even able to hear from David Stearns and Brandon Nimmo. And that's the focus of today's Rico Bronya. David Stearns had a press conference. If you missed it, good news. You're going to hear everything he had to say at the press conference that announced officially the Brandon Nimmo, Marcus Semien trade. We will hear all of his answers to every question that was asked. And then what we do here on the RICO is we analyze every answer he gave. Now, as far as where I stand 24 hours after this trade, I'm in a very similar place, which is, I think, a healthy skepticism. I'm not in a dark place. I'm not in an angry place. Like, I don't love the trade on the surface, but I'm also open-minded enough to know that more is yet to come. And what happens next will really help determine if this was a smart trade or not. But I received a lot of emails, therico@gmail.com. We obviously talked about this a lot on Evan and Tiki, took a lot of calls. I argued with Tommy Lugauer about it. There was one email that got to me in a good way, got to me in an optimistic way, because I think what we do as fans is we voice our opinions, whether we like a trade, love a trade, hate a trade. But eventually, we have no choice but to wrap our arms or legs around whatever decision was made and hope for the best. I have always said this since my days with Joe. I would rather be wrong and happy than right and miserable. So even if my first inclination is to not love the Brandon Nimmo, Marcus Semien swap, I hope there's egg all over my face. I hope Marcus Semien wins the MVP and helps lead the Mets to a world championship. I would love for that to be the case. So as I was going through all of your emails, tons of them, therico@gmail.com, and thinking about a lot of the comments that we had on the Evan and Tiki program, there was one email I do want to read to you before we hear from David Stearns that gave me hope. It was such a simple email. It was a little paragraph. I have talked about the declining Marcus Semien. How, while yes, the Mets have upgraded themselves defensively, there's no question about that, I worry about his offense. I worry about the fact that he is a declining player who's 35 years old. And Jose wrote an email with the subject title, Declining Player. And he writes, I've heard you say a ton today that Marcus Semien is a declining player. I would just like to remind you that George Springer was also a declining player, and he had a bounce-back season in Toronto. An athlete like Semien, alongside his work ethic and style of play, could lead to Semien having a bounce-back year. And he's right. I mean, this is the beauty of baseball. Even though the last 2 years has indicated that Marcus Semien is a declining player, I quickly, after that email, went to George Springer's baseball reference page just to remind me of what he did in 2024 and what he just did in 2025. As an age 34 player who played last season, 2025, as a 35-year-old. So the exact same age as Marcus Semien is this upcoming season, Springer was last season. In 2024, George Springer hit .220 in 145 games with a .674 OPS, very similar to Semien. He did hit 19 home runs, 56 RBIs, had a WAR of 1.1, mainly because Springer not only didn't hit, he didn't defend. At least we know Semien defends. This past season, George Springer had his highest WAR since 2019. He hit .309 with 32 home runs, third most of any season in his career, and 84 RBIs, third most of any season in his career, and a .959 OPS, the second highest of any season in his career. So, Jose, I appreciate it. That does give me hope. That gives me that faint hope that as much as I look at the last 2 years of Semien and I acknowledge the defensive upgrade, I don't ignore that, I worry about what has been lost offensively. You are right. He is a hardworking ball player. And at the same age that Springer was last year, it is possible, even though it's not likely, it is possible he could have that kind of renaissance. So, Jose, I appreciate that. I wanted to call you out because you are the email that gave me hope as I sat down at Barclays Center to watch the Brooklyn Nets lose to the New York Knicks. Thank you for that. Now let's begin the main event portion of today's RICO Bronya, and that's listening to the president himself, David Stearns, who began his press conference with an opening statement.
Hi, everyone. Thanks a lot for hopping on. I'll start by just thanking Brandon and his family for an incredible career with the Mets. You know, from the moment the Mets drafted Brandon, he did everything right here. He represented the organization exceptionally well on and off the field, and really was a great Met. You know, we wish Brandon and his entire family nothing but the best as they embark on the next phase of Brandon's career with the Texas Rangers. We're also really excited to add Marcus Semien to our organization. Marcus brings an elite level of defense. He's one of the best defensive infielders in baseball and has been for a number of years. He's a winner. He brings a winning drive and determination that we think is going to fit well in our clubhouse. And he balances our lineup from the right side, which is something we were seeking to do. So very happy to be able to bring Marcus in. And beyond the immediate player return part of this deal, we think this opens up possibilities and flexibility for us going forward, both from a near-term perspective and also allowing space for a number of very young outfielders who are coming, who are talented and will deserve spots at the major league level and to play at the major league level. And this transaction also provides room for that to happen as we move forward. So these are always tough decisions. This was not easy. Everyone here thinks very highly of Brandon. But in order to create the type of sustainable championship caliber play that we seek to have here, at times these types of decisions are necessary. And I'm happy to answer any questions that any of you have.
Fine opening statement, no surprise. Give the flowers to Brandon Nimmo for his time here, an incredibly long time when you go back to when Sandy Alderson drafted him. That's all you need to know. Brandon Nimmo was Sandy Alderson's first draft pick when he took over as team president. That was a long time ago. That was 15 years ago. That was post-Omar Minaya era. That was Obama's first term as president. Like, when you think about all that, you realize how long it's been. And obviously the positives of Marcus Semien, first thing he mentions is defense. We all know that. Still playing defense at second base at a very high level. And yeah, the new possibilities of how they can add to the outfield or give Carson Benge more of an open runway to take that everyday center field or, dare I say, left field job. I don't think it's a guarantee anymore that Carson Benge is the center fielder. Depending on what they do, he could be the left fielder. Let's get to the questions for David Stearns. Question number one.
Anthony DiComo, MLB.com. Hey, David, can you just walk us through the timeline of how this came about from conception, like whose idea it was at first, and all the way through to, I'd be curious to hear about your thoughts presenting it to Nimmo, who obviously had to clear it.
Yeah, this is something that really probably gained steam last week after the GM meetings. I think throughout the offseason, Texas had looked at Nimmo as a very attractive fit for them, and we had looked at Semien as a potentially really good fit for us, but we didn't really line up and really start making progress on this, I think, towards the tail end of the GM meetings into last week. These are difficult deals to put together. You're talking about two very established players. You're talking about two players who are embedded in their organizations, who have had success there. And clearly in Brandon's case, you're talking about a player with no trade protection. Yeah, I'm going to keep the specifics of the conversation with Brandon, I think, between the two of us. But Brandon's a pro. He's the ultimate pro. He was very respectful, considerate, and considered, I think, throughout this process. He took time to digest everything, took time to speak with his representation, took time to speak with his family to determine what was best, and ultimately he decided to accept the trade.
It's funny to think about Texas had interest in Brandon Nimmo. Okay, makes sense for where they're going. The Mets had interest in Marcus Semien. And so on the surface, you would think, kind of like me and Hoffman pulling off a fantasy trade, shouldn't that take 30 seconds? Shouldn't that be kind of a simple thing? Oh, you want Brandon Nimmo? We want Marcus. Let's just do it. I would love to know what other kind of incarnations of that trade looked like. Because a part of why I was so kind of adamant that I didn't think the Mets would trade Brandon Nimmo is I thought the Mets are going to have to pay down a big portion of that contract unless they took back another bad contract. Well, Marcus Semien, say what you want. The guy's making $26.5 million a year. He's a 35-year-old second baseman who's had a sub-700 OPS the last 2 years. You can't call it anything but a bad contract. Now, Brandon Nimmo has a longer contract, so I guess you could technically say that's worse because it goes 2 more years, even if the average annual salary is a little bit less. So you would think that when those talks began at the GM meetings, it would just be, hey, this swap makes sense. We'll never get the background unless David Stearns writes a book or Chris Young writes a book. But I'm curious why that would take a week to come together. Here's question number two for David Stearns.
Brett Brandon was obviously a, you know, not just a longtime player here, but a fan favorite. You've alluded to this a couple of times already, but to what extent or how much do you weigh those sorts of things versus just a pure baseball decision in these matters?
Yeah, it was something we had to think about, no question, both in terms of fan reality and the fan relationship with Brandon, but also we have real relationships with Brandon and our players have real relationships with Brandon. Coaches do, front office does. And so that is a part of this. And that certainly makes decisions like this a little bit more challenging than they otherwise would be. But at the end of the day, I still felt like this was the right decision for the organization.
I don't think that David Stearns puts that whole fan connection and gives it much credence in a deal like this. I really don't. I've thought about this for a while because one of the questions one asks is, well, David Stearns grew up as a Met fan. How does he balance his fandom with making decisions that he thinks is best for the team? He hasn't really been a Met fan in 15 years. I mean, once you're working in baseball in the Astros organization or you're the president, GM of the Brewers, you're not a Met fan. Like, how could you be a Met fan? Like, that's gone. So the more I think about it, the more that's a nice story, but I don't really think it exists. And also, I think that the only time David Stearns, really by way of Steve Cohen, is going to think about the fan connection is when it affects the bottom line. And that means buying tickets and ticket sales. Brandon Nimmo, and we all love Brandon. He's a great guy. He was a hell of a Met. 15 years in the organization. He didn't sell any tickets. Like, the attendance for the Mets going into 2026 isn't going to be affected because Brandon Nimmo isn't here. That is a risk with a guy like Pete Alonso. Or at least I should say it's more of a risk with a guy like Pete Alonso. And the truth is, he just took a homegrown Met, a good player, not a great player, and turned it into a 35-year-old second baseman making $26.5 million a year, coming off a bad offensive year, but he has a plus glove. If they lose Pete Alonso, which is very much on the table, the odds are they're going to replace Pete Alonso with a really good baseball player, whether it's Kyle Schwarber or whomever that they add to replace Alonso. That's almost going to be easier with your fans based on the player you're bringing in versus this, in which you turn Brandon Nimmo into a guy who's not a big part of the future. I mean, he'll be here for 3 years. So I think any sign I'm trying to get from this is that whole fan connection thing, there really isn't. Like, he is making decisions, and I hope he's right, but he's making decisions squarely based on what he thinks he makes the team better. Here's question number three for David Stearns.
Rinse takes your laundry and hand delivers it to your door, expertly cleaned and folded, so you could take the time once spent folding and sorting and waiting to finally pursue a whole new version of you. Like tea time you. Or this tea time you. Or even this tea time you.
Said you hear about Dave?
Or even tea time you.
So update on Dave.
It's up to you. We'll take the laundry. Rinse. It's time to be great.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sack Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
At Sierra, discover joyous deals on great gifts for everyone on your list, like cozy slippers, ski gear, fishing poles, bikes, large kayaks, even larger canoes. Whew, which might lead to another discovery. Wrapping gifts is the only sport you need to stay fit this season. Tis the season to discover great gifts at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Hey, David, just when you talk about wanting to give young players a chance to play and have those avenues opened up, how do you kind of square acquiring a 35-year-old at a position where you have these young players who are available and who are maybe, if not already ready to contribute, a year or so away from doing so?
Yeah, I think the good thing about the players who maybe have played second base for us over the past couple of years who are a little bit younger or who may becoming or infielders, there's a ton of positional versatility with all of them. So whether that's Acuna or Jet Williams or Ronnie Mauricio, we have a high degree of confidence that all of these guys can play multiple positions and can play them at a high level. And so we don't look at the Simeon acquisition as necessarily blocking anyone from continuing their progression.
Well, that was one of the big questions we all had. Certainly I had about this, is that I viewed second base as a position where a young player could take it, whether it was Jet or it was Mauricio or even potentially Beatty if they acquired a third baseman. Well, let's examine his point, which is, hey, a lot of those guys play other positions. Ronnie Mauricio has not played the outfield. I think he did briefly in the minor leagues a couple of years ago. We'll circle back to that in a second. As far as Jet Williams is concerned, he came up as a shortstop. Last year in Syracuse, he ended up playing, let's break this thing down to be fair. He played 54 games at shortstop. He played 19 games in center. He played, let's see, I should add this together because he was at AA and AAA. So let me add it up together. 70 at shortstop, 27 in center, 28 at second base. So he has given you kind of that split between second base and center field. Hasn't played left field, but we've seen him in center field. So he's definitely right about that with Jet Williams, which is why we've mentioned him before as a guy that could end up in the outfield. I thought initially he would be the kind of guy that when he first gets that opportunity to play, would be at numerous positions. He would basically be almost a young version of Ben Zobrist, where he'll get some at-bats at second. He'll get some at-bats in the outfield. Like, it would almost be kind of mixed and match. As far as Ronnie Mauricio is concerned, the last time Ronnie played the outfield was 2023. He played 26 games in left field. Obviously, 2024 was a completely lost season because of the injury. He did not play the outfield at the major league level when he was called up in 2023. He only played second base and third base. And since then, so since he's come back from the torn ACL a year ago, he didn't play any games in the outfield. So it's tough to imagine that the Mets are considering Ronnie Mauricio as an outfielder. Now, it is possible because they have that option on him. He starts the year at AAA and plays left field. I think that's a great question for David Stearns. You know, one of those spring training questions for him. Okay, now that second base is filled for the next 3 years, we'll see about third base with Brett Beatty. I mean, Brett had a good year. I don't think he's locked it down completely. We saw how easily Mark Vientos lost that job a year ago. But Mauricio as an outfielder would have to be them going back to something they haven't done in a couple of years. Luis Angel Acuña questioned a lot last year why we didn't see him more in the outfield. Then they finally put him in the outfield late in the year, and I thought the brief time we saw him out there, he looked good. So we'll see if that's backed up with actions. Obviously, Carson Benj is an outfielder, so there's No debating about that. But Ronnie Mauricio, to me, is the real question. Okay, what is Ronnie Mauricio? Now, he may be traded before we get to spring training, so that question I just asked about him playing the outfield, we may be able to throw away, depending on where this offseason goes. Now, here's question number four for David Stearns.
And just how did you, how much did you, I guess, wanting to change the clubhouse dynamics, did that play a role into this trade at all?
I don't know if it's necessarily wanting to change the clubhouse dynamics. I think it's a recognition that what we did last year wasn't good enough. And running back the exact same group wasn't the right thing to do. And so as we went into this, we believed and still believe that we have to be open to anything, that we shouldn't be in a spot to take anything off the table. And ultimately, if we're able to put transactions together that we think make sense for the team, both now and in the future, that we have to consider them regardless of what names may be involved.
That part I completely agree with. Going into this offseason, you know, outside of Juan Soto and probably Francisco Lindor and maybe Nolan McClain, because of the hope that we all have he can be this next great stud pitcher, I think when you're coming off the kind of disappointing year the Mets had, everything needed to be open. Now, I didn't necessarily agree with the whole you have to break up the core that guys like Dan, one of our loyal listeners, or even Sal Licata would point out. Like, yeah, I'm open to it. I'm not going to stand against it, but I didn't think it had to happen. I was always be open-minded. And if a trade can make you better, let's talk. So I think that's a good answer from David Stearns. When you come off the kind of disappointment that you had last year, it's not that you needed to change the locker room, but you certainly needed to be very, very open-minded on making significant changes because of the failure of the previous year. Here's question number five for David Stearns.
Hey David, just Semien is obviously coming off of a down year at the plate. Given his age, it points to an obvious decline. Just what makes you believe that he can rebound offensively?
Yeah, I think there's still some underlying aspects of what he does that are encouraging for us offensively. I also think it's notable that this is a player that can contribute to winning baseball in a variety of different ways. And the bat may not actually lead the way at this point in his career. We think there's likely some bounce back in his offensive profile and his offensive game. But what we're counting on at the top of his skill set is the contributions he can make for us defensively, how he can perform on the bases. And we think those are going to help us win games.
There's your answer. If he hits and pulls off the George Springer, as the emailer Jose suggested, fantastic. But we brought him in because he's a good defender. We brought him in because he's a good base runner. And the other thing that we've heard a lot about is they probably brought him in because he's a widely respected leader. Now, that seems like it's a lot of money to spend on those attributes. I mean, $26.5 million adding to payroll at least this year and next year. Obviously, that changes in year three and certainly year four and five when he's off the books and Brandon Nimmo is still on the books. But David Stearns is being honest with that. This is about defense. And there's no question, despite my skepticism on what happens next, they have greatly improved themselves defensively at second base. They've taken a step back offensively, if you believe that Nimmo is similar to a year ago and Semien is similar to a year ago. But I think that answer is we trust the other attributes. We trust his sprint speed. We trust his base running. We trust his defense. And so even if he doesn't hit, even if he's the same offensive player he was a year ago, we like those other attributes. Here is question number, what are we up to? Number six for David Stearns.
Yeah, and then you have alluded to it a little bit. What are those intangibles from Semien in terms of winning drive, leadership, his high character? What did you like there about him?
I think as we really began to dig in on who this person was, talk to his former teammates, former coaches, people who have been around him, this is someone who takes craft incredibly seriously. Someone who does everything he can on a regular basis to get in the lineup, to perform at a high level, practices hard and holds those expectations of his teammates as well. And I think that's going to fit in very well for our group.
Yeah, we've talked about adding leadership and what they may have missed this past year, whether it was from JD Martinez or Jose Iglesias, all indications are they just added a good leader to this locker room. So that helps. Obviously, performing on the baseball field is the most important thing. But even a guy like JD Martinez, who did not have a good year offensively in 2024, we heard it all through 2025, how important he was to that room. And so there are certainly good indications that Semien will improve that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
Question 7 for David Stearns.
Obviously, you have a second baseman who's been there for a while in Jeff McNeil. Kind of where do you view McNeil fitting into your roster at this point in time now with Semien on board?
I think Jeff, by virtue of his positional versatility, still has the ability to impact our team in a variety of ways. What exactly that's going to look like is probably going to have to wait until we watch the rest of the offseason unfold. But certainly his ability to play corner outfield is a help. There may still be days if Semien needs a blow where he's playing some second base. We may ask Jeff to play some first base, depending on how the offseason pans out. I talked to Jeff yesterday. He understands where we're headed. I think he wants to be a part of this, and he understands his positional versatility is a real asset for us.
Okay. I still think Jeff McNeil will be traded. Very few general managers will ever announce their intention to trade a player. Brian Cashman did that once about Sonny Gray. I'm still stunned by it. I still reference it to this day. So I would tell you right now that I think it's higher than that. I'd say 70% likely they trade him. But I will walk you through a scenario where Jeff McNeil is still on this team. I don't know who David Stearns is eyeing in terms of the outfield. Like, I believe they will add an outfielder, at least one, probably just one. And it could be a host of different guys. I know that some Met fans' brains go to Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger or trading for Fernando Tatis. It could be Ryan O'Hearn. It could be trading for Luis Robert Jr. It could be Harrison Bader. I mean, all those things are possibilities. But if they don't get the guys they want, there is that possibility, as much as this is going to pain a lot of people, that Jeff McNeil's the left fielder. Like, it's on the table. I don't think it's likely, but I think until you get the outfielder that you want to add, there is that possibility that Jeff McNeil's on this team as a guy who plays a lot of left field. And as David Stearns even pointed out, occasionally fills in for the 35-year-old second baseman. I don't believe that will be the case. I still think it's, in fact, I'll up the percentage. I'll say it's 75% Jeff McNeil is traded. But there is that world in which he's not. Just keep that in mind. And I know that would disappoint a lot of people. Here's question number 8 for David Stearns.
Black Friday savings are here at the Home Depot, which means it's time to add new cordless power to your collection. Right now, when you buy a select battery kit from one of our top brands like Ryobi or Milwaukee, you'll get a select tool from that same brand for free. Click into one of our best deals of the season and stock up on tools for all your upcoming projects. Get Black Friday savings happening now at the Home Depot. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in-store and online.
So good, so good, so good.
Give big, save big with Rack Friday deals at Nordstrom Rack. For a limited time, take an extra 40% off Red Tag clearance for a total savings up to 75% off. Save on gifts for everyone on your list from brands like Vince, Cole Haan, Sam Edelman, and more. All sales final and restrictions apply. The best stuff goes fast, so bring your gift list and your wish list to your nearest Nordstrom Rack today.
You mentioned at one point that, you know, running it back from last year was not the right thing to do. At what point during that slide over the final couple months of the season did you, as a front office, come to that conclusion that you would need to do maybe more changes than you had initially thought? And is this enough of a change in your mind, or is there more to come?
So I think when you're in the moment in going through a playoff push, you're focused on the day-to-day. You're focused on trying to do everything you can to win that day. And there's off-season preparation going on, but there's probably not that time for real reflection on how the team is performing at that moment. So I think once we got into the off-season and had the time to fully reflect on our team is when I became convinced that we weren't just going to run it back, that we were going to make some changes. You're never sure which changes are actually going to occur, which changes are actually going to be possible. And that's still the case as we move forward. I don't know what the next transaction is right now, but I know we're going to keep going in the offseason. I'm very confident we're going to have a productive offseason.
Losing 3 out of 4 to the Marlins after sweeping the Phillies. That would be my guess on when it hit David Stearns. Oh, geez, there's something wrong with this team. And we took a caller on Evan and Tiki, and it's a great point that David Stearns may have encountered something very similar to the 2022 New York Football Giants, where there's a new administration. You expect that things aren't going to go well. It's your evaluation year. And then things went so much better than you expected that it changed how you were going to approach your first real offseason. And for the Giants, it may have set them back numerous years. In the Mets case, I mean, I don't know how much it set them back necessarily, but this is now the year where David Stearns says, okay, I'm going to enact change. Coming off a year in which he went to the NLCS, he probably realized I'm not going to enact that much change. We added Juan Soto, great. And so the step back here may have been that opportunity of, okay, now I can enact major, major change. But I think back to the moment where you knew, okay, this is a problem. I'd probably say not being able to build off of the sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies at Citi Field. Here's question number 9 for team president David Stearns.
Hi, David. How do you foresee the outfield alignment shaping up? And does this increase your appetite to go after a sort of higher profile free agent outfielder? Or do you still feel like there are internal options that you can kind of plug those holes with?
I think it would be too early for me to really determine how our outfield alignment's gonna shape up. Look, we clearly we've got Juan. Tyrone Taylor's back with us. We're very excited. We've got a number of young outfielders, including Carson Bench, who we think are going to contribute at the major league level over the course of next year. As I mentioned, we think Jeff is a contributor at the major league level in the outfield next year. Jet Williams has seen some outfield time, and we believe can play well there, and we've seen that in the minor leagues. And then there is the opportunity for external acquisitions, and we've got a lot of offseason left. I would expect us to continue to be active in a variety of spaces to bring players in here. And I think we'll have a better feel for what all of that looks like as we get much farther into the winter and ultimately into the spring.
I think they had one proven starting outfielder. And who that outfielder is going to really determine how a lot of people feel about this decision to trade Brandon Nimmo for Marcus Semien. It's all about what happens next. And I think the outfielder that they add, now I lean towards one starting outfielder. Like, is it possible they keep Starling Marte? Sure. But I think Marte would be more viewed as a fourth outfielder / designated hitter and not a guy who's going to just be penciled in as the everyday left fielder. But the question is, who's the outfielder? I mean, when it comes to free agency, there's two high-end guys, really one high-end guy in Kyle Tucker, and then a pretty good-end guy in Cody Bellinger. There is a difference between Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger, for being fair. But after that, there's a major drop-off. And the trade market, which we will examine coming up a few Ricos from now, it's very unpredictable. So there's a non-answer from David Stearns, but clearly they're adding an outfielder. The question is, whom? Here's question 10 for David Stearns.
How much do you have to sort of weigh some of the clubhouse stuff in terms of, you know, Nimmo was a key leader, Semien's the key leader, obviously on another team, but like, is sometimes some of that stuff a little bit, I don't know, overblown by the fans? I mean, does it not weigh as much as their on-field production or on-field contributions would be?
I think it's all part of our decision points and our evaluation of the team. Very difficult to create an equation for how you balance on-field performance and clubhouse chemistry and clubhouse leadership and how different pieces within that puzzle are all going to fit together. Very difficult to measure any of that. And so, you know, Brandon clearly was a very important piece, a prominent piece of our clubhouse for a long time. And we think Marcus is going to be able to fit in very well also.
Considering the Mets have failed a lot more than they've succeeded, as much as I didn't think they needed to break up the core, I also can't go the other way and say, boy, I got to be careful about trading this veteran leader. I mean, Brandon Nimmo's been part of a team that collapsed in 21, different kind of collapse, but collapsed in 2022, had an awful 2023, and while 24 was magic, 25 was a disaster. So as much as I don't feel like you have to break up the core, I also don't feel, ooh, I'm worried I'm trading a leader from this team. Here's question number 11 for David Stearns.
Hey, David. your first baseman, your closer are both, you know, officially free agents now. Have you had a chance to engage them in talks, extensively in talks? Excuse me. How would you characterize those negotiations or pursuits at this point with Alonso and Diaz?
As I've said before, we'd love to have Pete and Edwin back. They're both great Mets. I'm not going to get into any specifics of any conversations that we've had to this point.
So I'm not going to tell you. I ain't going to tell you a damn thing. Just read The Athletic and you'll hear that Edwin Diaz wants 5 years and we don't want to give him 5 years. That is a thought. We're all trying to kind of put the puzzle together on what's next. If this trade, which clearly off the top, I don't love, I'm not dancing in the streets, but if this trade, because they cleared year 4 and 5 of Nimmo, because Semien's contract will expire by then, if that makes it more likely or makes Stearns and Cohen more comfortable to give Edwin Diaz or Pete Alonso a fourth or fifth year to get the deal done, then that trade-off is worth it. I think Diaz and Alonso were so important to this team no offense to Brandon Nimmo, that ridding yourselves of the Nimmo contract, because for whatever reason, because I know there's no salary cap in baseball, at least yet, and trust me, there'll never be a salary cap. If Steve Cohen is saying, hey, I'll feel more comfortable going that extra mile for Peter Edwin because we cleared the Nimmo contract, then I'll take it, because I think they're more important than Brandon Nimmo. Here's question number 12 for David Stearns.
David, if you wanted to re-sign Pete, re-sign Edwin, and go out and get a top flight outfield acquisition, do you have the financial latitude to do that?
I think our ownership group is and Steve is very consistent that they're willing to support what we think is right from a baseball perspective. Payroll space is not unending, but I am also very confident that we're going to have the support we need and certainly the resources we need to put a very good team on the field.
Is what I just described a realistic strategy for you guys this offseason?
Sure. Yeah, I think anything would be realistic right now.
What does that tell you? Do Met fans hear that and say, yay, we're getting Kyle Tucker? Or do you hear that and say, sure? I used to tell my parents, sure, when I wasn't really going to do something, they just asked me. So I guess that's up for your own interpretation on how you want to take that. I think we got two more left for David Stearns. I've already lost count. I was doing a really good job of keeping track, but at some point I lost track. So here's another question for David Stearns.
I know you only overlapped with Brandon in Queens for 2 years, but when you look back on, you know, the entirety of his Mets tenure, what sticks out to you?
Look, I think it's the relationships that Brandon was able to create throughout our organization and the community. And I think that speaks to his authenticity, and that connected with a lot of people. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. And I think that's what we'll miss most.
He doesn't know, and I don't blame him. I mean, he wasn't here for Brandon Nimmo's great moments, which, by the way, we are putting together a Rico Bronya called Tribute to Brandon Nimmo, in which we will count down our favorite Brandon Nimmo moments. So if you'd like to contribute to that, email us, thericob@gmail.com, and let us know your favorite Brandon Nimmo moments. Pete Hoffman, who is not a big Nimmo guy, but has done a great job producing today's Rico and all the Ricos, already told me his favorite Brandon Nimmo moment. And he said, Evan, it was when I got the news right after the Giants embarrassed themselves yet again. When I got the news that Brandon Nimmo was gone, that's my favorite moment. Nah, I'm just kidding. Hoff did reveal his favorite Brandon Nimmo moment. Do you mind if I share with the Rico audience, no joke, your favorite Brandon Nimmo moment?
You're more than welcome to go ahead and give it.
The great catch against the Dodgers in 2022 with DeGrom on the mound.
I mean, that has to be number one, right?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to dismiss it like, no. It's a great moment. I think when we do the tribute, I've already pulled the clip of Gary Cohen's call. Like, it's definitely up there. But there are a few, for me personally, that I put ahead. But that's for a later Rico. So, everyone, give us your opinions. All right, here's the last question for David Stearns. Then we'll analyze and maybe we'll listen to some of the stuff Brandon Nimmo had to say.
Just one more on Nimmo. How much did his recent injury history change the value of his 8-year contract that he originally signed, especially with the repeating neck injury that would take him out sometimes?
I don't know. I think Brandon posts pretty well. And look, they're going to be nagging injuries for any player, especially as you get into these stages of their careers. But Brandon did everything in his power to get on the field, and clearly more nights than not, he was out there playing left field for us.
151 games in 2022, 152 games in 2023, 151 games in 2024, and despite all those injuries, a career high 155 games in 2025. I think the injuries made you worried for two reasons. I know I was saying this early in the offseason. I wanted DH him more, not because he was a liability in left field, but because as he gets older and the fact he has had a lot of these nagging injuries, which may not have affected him getting on the field, but certainly affected him on the field based on performance, that you started to get concerned. Okay, what does the rest of this contract look like? And that is a fair concern. It's why I didn't think they were going to have people banging down the door to acquire Brandon Nimmo. With that said, David Stearns is very tough to read. So my biggest takeaway from this is that a lot is on the table. I don't know if it's going to be the big game hunting a lot of Met fans assume. I honestly don't think it will be. I said this on the air with Tiki, and Tiki got mad at me. He thought I was being negative, but I said, I really can kind of see a scenario where the outfielder they add is Luis Robert Jr. And a part of why, and I want to make something clear, while I've been a big fan of Robert Jr., I'm now worried about him. Like, I wanted him last offseason, in which I looked at his last couple of years and thought, you know what, we still haven't seen the best of him. And remember, he backed up his very disappointing 2024 season by basically putting up identical numbers in 2025. So my view of Robert a year older is not as high as it was coming in the last season. So I'm not even saying this as an endorsement, considering he's coming off back-to-back horrific seasons in which he also wasn't healthy. I just connect the fact that the Mets were interested in him prior to the trade deadline. They were talking to the White Sox about him before the deadline. And a lot of times when teams talk about a player, they rekindle the conversations the following offseason and then make a deal happen. And I don't know. Would we really be excited about that? Would we look at that as an upgrade? Certainly he's younger and the Mets could put together a really good defensive outfield. But the answer is no. And so it wouldn't surprise me if they added him. I would be surprised by Kyle Tucker. I think that that is, you know, are the Mets really going to have three guys under contract in Lindor, Soto, and Tucker who signed double-digit year contracts? I have a tough time seeing that. So he's very tough to read, but clearly this is about the run prevention he talked about. The first thing he said about Semien was defense. So that is certainly a priority. Now let's hear from Brandon Nimmo. He did a long press conference with the Texas Rangers media. We got a couple of clips just to hear from him. The first one being a question that was Brandon was asked by the Mets-centric media that joined the Zoom call. Take a listen.
Could you just walk us through, I guess, what this trade was like from your perspective, the decision to waive the no-trade clause, any, I guess, what these last few days or weeks have been like for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'll start you at the beginning. It was Thursday night. I received a phone call from David Stearns, which is not that unusual. And so I picked up the phone, you know, asked him how he was doing, what's going on. And he mentioned to me that they had a trade in place with the Rangers if I was willing to waive my no trade clause. So it definitely took me as a shock. You know, I was surprised to hear that. I went ahead and asked him some more questions, basically evolving into, so the final question was like, am I basically the only thing that's standing in the way of this? Like, is this already a done deal? I have to approve it. And he said, yep, pretty much. Like, it's, you know, it's just dotting the I's and crossing the T's would pretty much be this at this point. So, I was obviously, you know, taken aback, from that. And I, said, okay, well, it's obviously a huge life and career decision. So, you know, we don't want to make any decision, you know, off the cuff. So we need to go ahead and deliberate on this. I need to talk with my family, and we need to have some time for this. They were very accommodating with the time, said no problem. I also had let them know that my daughter's first birthday was tomorrow. And, you know, that would be encompassing a lot of my time that next day. And so, they said, that's totally fine. Go ahead and do what you need to do. So with that information, we celebrated my daughter's birthday on Friday. But then once we finished and, it was kind of, you know, nighttime, like I pretty much got on the phone from that night until basically Sunday afternoon. So, you know, when I went to bed, I was on the phone, and then when I woke up, I got back on the phone and was trying to get as much information as I could possibly get to make this decision.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
You know, once the Mets tell him, and it's great, it's interesting when he says, am I the only one holding up this trade? Once you're told, and we talked about this on the last Rico we did, why he waived his no trade. Once you're told, yeah, we basically have traded you. It's just about you now making a decision. It's tough to say, yeah, nah, I'm not going to do it. Because you now know that the team doesn't want you. Now, guys have exercised their no trade clause sometimes to just lead themselves to a different team. Giancarlo Stanton famously did that, I think, with the Giants and the Cardinals, and eventually got himself to the New York Yankees. So I guess Nimmo could have said, you know what, I don't want to go to Texas, but if you really want to trade me, here's where I will go. But you also don't want to force your way back. The Mets are basically telling you, we don't want you back. By the way, one of the emails I got from the RicoB@gmail.com, and I don't know what to think of this, but basically there is a person emailing us trying to get his name. I don't think he signs his name. He kind of keeps himself mysterious. Yeah, he's calling himself Sept, that he is emailing Steve Cohen, and included in the email to us his exchanges with Steve Cohen. And I don't know if I want to read this. I got to be, because I'm not even sure it is Steve Cohen. And if it is Steve Cohen, I don't know if I feel comfortable revealing his emails with a fan. But the truth is, if Steve Cohen truly is emailing a fan, then he's probably okay with it all being out there. I'll give that some consideration, and I may air this on Evan and Tiki on Tuesday. That's where I would leave that. But let's hear more from Brandon Immo, including the question about why did you ultimately say yes to this trade, Brandon?
What we ended up coming up with was that the Mets would not have brought this trade if they didn't feel like it put the Mets in the best position to win going forward. They made it very apparent that they weren't actively shopping me, but that the Rangers really, really, really wanted me. They made it extremely apparent, and they, you know, were persistent enough that they got to the point where a trade was to be had. So from my perspective, when I talked with CY, we talked for about an hour and a half going over, you know, different things and processes and where the team was at. And I tried to familiarize myself with the Rangers and where they were at, because this was going to be, you know, a huge, huge decision for me. Spring training's in Arizona. We live in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We just finished our house that we've been working on. And, you know, it was meant to host, and it was meant to, you know, like have spring training parties and, you know, team get togethers. And so we had kind of, you know, built this life centered around that we were going to be New York Mets until the very end.
Wow. I mean, every time he talks, it's like, how do you not love him? how do you not love the guy? By the way, the one flaw, though, with they wouldn't have presented this to me if it didn't improve the Mets. Any trade they presented to you, they would deem as improving that. Then what's the point of a no trade clause? Like, the only time a team's going to trade you is if they think it benefits them. So that was weird logic. Brandon Immo was also asked about, you know, was it important for you to be traded to a contender, a chance to win a world championship?
And so there was a lot of logistical things that we had to try and get over those hurdles in order to try and make this make sense. But then also we wanted to know that there was a willingness and a want, you know, for if we went to the Rangers, that they wanted to win, and they wanted, because that is my ultimate goal. Like, the personal stuff, that's all great. And I think it's evident by this decision that, you know, there's a solid chance that if I stay healthy, if I just kept producing, that there's a chance that, you know, it would have been, you know, me and David Wright would have been pretty much the only ones that had started and finished with the Mets. And I could have had a pretty good chance of having the numbers in the rafters. But that's not what it all means to me. I would honestly rather win a World Series. And I thought, you know, that was in a good position, was trying to do that with the Mets. But they had made it, you know, apparent that, like, they felt like the best way to move forward for the Mets was this trade. And so I needed to know that the Rangers were committed to trying to win a World Series as well, and that this wasn't a rebuild that I was coming into, that this was somewhere that one, I was extremely wanted, and they made that abundantly clear, and two, was somewhere that I felt like in the next 5 years we would be competing for World Series titles year in and year out.
I want you to listen or think about what he just said about, as great as it would have been to potentially have my number in the rafters. That's a debate for another day if he really ever had a chance of that. I'd rather win a world championship. Well, we feel the same way. You know, whether it's talking about Alonso or talking about Nimmo, I would love for Pete Alonso and Brandon Nimmo to have been career Mets, but I'd rather win a championship, which is why my guiding principle, whether you guys believe it or not, is I want Pete back because I think he gives them the best chance to win a championship, not because I need his number retired. So it's interesting to hear Brandon talk about it from a player's perspective, because we as fans have had debates like that too about the importance of a career Met and having your number retired. Speaking of what could have been a career Met with your number retired, here's Brandon Nimmo eventually talking about his phone conversation with Jacob DeGrom.
And I couldn't be more excited about everything that I'm hearing, you know, from Jake. I knew Jake very well when I was in New York, have stayed in touch with him. And he has nothing but amazing things to say about the Rangers. He's been on both sides. And he has absolutely, you know, thrived in this environment, and thinks that, we are capable of winning a World Series. And, you know, he is really, really excited about this. And so talking with him and talking with many other people inside the organization, including Skip, you know, all I hear is that, you know, they're very, very excited about, you know, this next season. We're not in a rebuild mode. Like, we're going for it. We think that, you know, this next season is a very exciting time for the Texas Rangers. And so it's gotten me very excited for this season. And obviously I would not have waived the no trade clause if I did not think that I could come here and win and be a part of, you know, chasing that World Series.
So let this forever be the end of any thought that Jacob DeGrom is going to waive his no trade clause to come back to the New York Mets, as he used his power and influence to convince Brandon Nimmo, you should come here to Texas. It's one of those moves that, as the days go by, as a fan, I will rationalize the possible goodness of it. But as we sit here in the moments, in the days following Brandon Nimmo for Marcus Semien, I wonder what's next. And that will help guide me on how I feel about this trade. Email us your thoughts on what David Stearns had to say. And also to our upcoming Brandon Nimmo tribute, Rico, your favorite Brandon Nimmo moments, thericob@gmail.com. Coming up in a few days, we will start to look at trade prospects, guys that the Mets could target in the starting pitching trade market, and certainly the position player market, which has new meaning now that the Mets clearly need to add an outfielder. We appreciate you downloading and subscribing to the Rico Brogna. Make sure you do download. We do these pop-up Ricos every once in a while when there's breaking news, but we certainly try to give you at least 3 Ricos per week. So download, subscribe, Rico Brogna. Thank you very much for listening to episode 591 of Rico Brogna.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Brogna podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.